Meandering in the margins of medicine, it's the Short Coat Podcast.
Weird news,
fresh views,
helpful clues and interviews.
By students, for students.
Subscribe to our weekly show at theshortcoat.com.
Hello, Dave Etler here. Melissa Palma has joined me for the most recent episode in our series that we're calling Secret Lives of CCOM Professors. Melissa, who'd you bring us this time?
So today, I had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Darren Hoffman. He is a lecturer of anatomy and cell biology. Dr. Hoffman often has very interesting analogies for certain for anatomy, especially his course is pelvic anatomy, and so there's a lot of very tasteful double entendre that goes on in class.
Nice. It's nice to have tasteful double entendre.
Yes, all right, as always. And so Dr. Hoffman today will be telling us all about his skills and hopefully pass on some advice to students about gourmet pie baking.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That sounds delicious.
It does.
All right. Well, let's join you and Dr. Hoffman talking about that.
So, Dr. Hoffman, would you mind introducing yourself to the listeners and also tell us what your secret talent is?
Sure. My name is Darren Hoffman. Most of the medical students know me from the first year anatomy course. A few lucky ones get me in their CBL group or something like that, but I think most people think of me as one of their anatomy teachers. My secret talent, I think the one we're going to talk about today anyway, because I'd like to think I have maybe more than one, is that I am a pie baker when I am not teaching anatomy.
And so could you mind telling us a little bit about how you got started, what got you interested in pie baking and the like?
Sure. I haven't been baking pies forever, and pie really wasn't necessarily even a big part of, our family traditions or anything like that necessarily. But I have always loved cooking and working with my hands. Most of my hobbies are, craft or, art that involves the use of my hands. And so when I'm not at work using my brain, I like to be using my hands for my body somehow. And I think that's probably how I ended up interested in making pies, because it's a very hands-on sort of approach to cooking. And the whole thing started about 5 years ago, when I was kind of newish as a faculty member. And I kind of felt like I needed something new in my life to something new to devote some passion to. I felt like I was good at a lot of different aspects of cooking, but not really great at any one thing. And I knew that I liked pie, and I knew that just about everybody likes pie.
Everyone loves pie.
Yeah, there's just something good about it. And it seemed like something that I could tackle and conquer. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you really just want to take on a challenge that that you can finish. I think it's sort of the thing that's appealing about some video games is that, mm-hmm. You can beat it. And I felt that way, at least at the beginning, about pie, because it seemed like it was small enough that mm-hmm. I could figure it out.
I feel like, especially for people in medicine, the sciences, where everything's kind of a long-term game plan, lots of delayed gratification, being able to make your own pie with your own hands and then eat it and enjoy it within a day's span or even, a few hours seems like a lovely respite from, our everyday professional lives.
Gosh, you said that beautifully. I think that's a big part of it. It's psychological. It's healing to take a little bit of time for yourself and make something. And you guys are all on a very long trajectory towards a career. But I'm in my career and I still feel the same way, mm-hmm. that I'm on a long timeline and, there's really no end to it. So it's helpful to do things with my spare time that do have an ending. Mm-hmm. And when it tastes really good, that's even better.
More benefit for everyone.
Right.
Yeah. I know that, you know, I've tried baking a few pies in my spare time and to various degrees of success based on how well I read the instructions beforehand. But essentially, could you please, you know, with the listeners, walk us through what are the steps to making the perfect pie from scratch?
Sure. Okay. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is that you should start by cheating. the first step is usually focusing on making your crust. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's the part of making a pie that has the most potential for failure. Mm-hmm. So if you're a new pie baker and you're trying to figure out how to make pie, I'd say start out by faking it with the crust, by buying a rollout crust. Don't get the frozen ones that are pre-shell, like that are a shell that's already formed. Mm-hmm. At least if you buy the rollout ones, you get to do the, you can roll it out a little bit bigger and you can form it into whatever shape you want. You can cut it and make a lattice top crust if you want to. So there's a little bit of creativity there, but it's also really safe and it's never going to fail. That would be my first recommendation. Mm-hmm. Because if you jump right into pie making and you're focusing on, you know, how you're going to make your crust and how you make sure it's the right degree of flakiness and the right flavor, mm-hmm. that's a lot of failure right off the bat. And most people just can't see a hobby through if it's just rife with failure. So I'd say skip that, save it for after you've, you know, hooked yourself on the taste and look of a pie. Mm-hmm. And so once you've sort of, you know, consented to that aspect of it and figured out how you're going to do your crust, then, you know, just pick your favorite fruit or whatever's ripe at the moment. The summer is a great time to start learning, mm-hmm. Because there's just like a different thing every week that is perfect and ready to go.
What's your favorite summer pie flavors?
I love, love, love peach pie. Mm-hmm. It's really actually a hard one, because the timing is so difficult, with your fruit. Mm-hmm. If you're making it from fresh peaches, just the other day I went to the store to get some peaches to make a peach pie. They seemed ripe in the store. Mm-hmm. They smelled the way they're supposed to smell. Mm-hmm. I took them home. I threw them in the boiling water to blanch them to get the skins off. And they were basically like apples.
So you made an apple pie?
Yeah.
Apple peach pie?
Well, so I just took the peaches out and I said, okay, you got to wait because that's just not going to work. So I didn't have any other fruit in the house. So I just decided to make a sugar pie, mm-hmm. Which is basically like pecan pie without the pecans.
Huh.
And so it's like brown sugar and flour. And mm-hmm. I think there's even maple syrup in there.
Huh. So is it a flat pie or is it filled all the way with sugar and maple syrup?
It's like an inch thick.
Wow.
You know, like a, you know, kind of a thinner pecan pie, mm-hmm. but it has that texture kind of like a brownie, mm-hmm. almost. Really good. And one of those you can fire off in an hour, especially if you got a fake crust. So if you, you know, just get in there, make a couple of pies, fall in love with the process and how because there's a lot of art in how you finish it and mm-hmm. And the way that you make your crust look. You can use cutouts and do like, you know, a repeated circle pattern on your top crust, and it makes it look completely different than if you did a lattice top, mm-hmm. Or if you just did a standard flat top crust or even a crumb top. So just learning what your different options are is a really great place to start. Mm-hmm. Figure out what you like about it. And then go back and then do the hard work of figuring out what sort of crust do you actually like. Do you like a more butter flavored crust? Mm-hmm. Do you like a really flaky crust? What do you want to go for? Because it's going to take a lot of repeated tries. Mm-hmm. As far as the techniques that go into making a successful crust, the key word is cold.
Hmm.
All your ingredients should be cold. I basically am like in and out of the freezer or in and out of the fridge with things. When you're putting your butter into your flour, I have all my dry ingredients in a bowl and I throw the bowl in the fridge, while I cut up the butter into tiny little pieces. Then I take the butter and I throw that in the freezer so that gets as cold as it can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
And then take my dry ingredients out of the fridge and then take my frozen butter out and then start cutting it in using the pastry knife.
Pastry blender.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then also cold water to help bring it together. And if if that's like the main thing with having a crust that is like cement is that it's usually your butter got too warm.
Too warm.
And then it, you know, it didn't stay in little pieces, and those little pieces of butter are what give it the flakes and helps makes the pastry stay really light and airy. And so that, you know, it, that's the one thing I think that when people are shortcutting their crust, they feel like they have to keep going. Mm-hmm. You don't, you know, like just stop. Like if you feel like your butter is getting too warm as you're cutting it, mm-hmm. just throw the whole thing back in the freezer for a minute. And then take it back out. And then once you do make your crust, then, and, or you form the dough ball, then you got to throw that thing in the fridge for at least another couple hours.
Yeah.
Till the whole thing is like well below, you know, room temperature. So, there's a lot of trial and error with the crust part. Mm-hmm. But if you can sort of get over the fact that your first few will be kind of gross, at least the crust part, and you have some really good flavors and the filling that you like, then who cares?
Yeah. So for all of the steps combined, so from making the pastry dough to rolling it out to making your filling, making a lovely lattice top pie, how from step to step until you eat the pie, how long does that take you, and how have you gotten faster over time? Do you actually take more time because you enjoy it so much, or?
Sure. That's an interesting, it's probably both, you know, and so like sometimes you need to be fast. And so you're like focused on efficiency and you're probably making something simpler, like an apple pie where you're not really worried about the look of the insides as much. But I, you know, I, the fastest I could make, say like a fruit pie, the fastest I could probably go is about an hour's worth of work to make the crust and then get it in the fridge, and then a couple hours of downtime while I'm waiting for the dough to get cold. And then start to finish, once I'm actually making the pie itself, 2 hours, maybe a little longer. It just depends. Some days it seems like the juice just doesn't want to get thick. And you just got to leave it in there and leave it in there until it starts, you know, gets to that right sort of gooiness on the inside.
Yeah. So you've mentioned all of the trials and errors that you've had over the years, you know, perfecting your recipe, perfecting your technique. Do you have a story about a particularly disastrous pie, or maybe a pie that you thought, this isn't going to work, there's no way this is going to work, and then it turned out amazing?
Well, one comes to mind right away, and this was actually well before I started to try and make pie in earnest. And that was back in college. I was in a really dumpy apartment, and I wanted to make a cherry pie. That was probably my favorite pie growing up. Still have a really soft spot in my heart for a tart cherry pie. But anyway, I decided to make a cherry pie, so I went to the store and got a can of cherry pie filling.
And like any good college student.
I mean, it's cheap. You know, it's the way to go. If you want it quick and dirty, just get the can. I then went online and found a recipe for a cherry pie that called for cherries and sugar and lemon and all the normal things that you put in cherry pie. And I treated the cherry pie filling like cherries. So that meant that this was like the most over-sugared pie you could possibly imagine, because it was like sugar on top of sugar on top of sugar. And it was literally inedible. It was so granular. Like the sugar didn't even dissolve because there was so like so much extra sugar.
Super saturated sugar.
Exactly. Like hypertonic.
You crystallized the sugar, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Like you would cut into it and it looked white on the inside because there was so much sugar in it. It was totally disgusting. You know, since I've, you know, tried a little bit harder, and now I do more homework. Like when I'm, you know, learning about a new pie or a different kind of fruit, I do a little bit more reading. So that, that tends to avert the catastrophes, but there was one example that I can think of that was actually kind of an important point, came from it. I went online and found a recipe from, Paula Deen for a pumpkin pie that was, I think it was like, it wasn't a pumpkin cheesecake pie. It was some kind of pumpkin something or other pie. It was something special that, you know, that, and it was Paula Deen, so it seemed like this can't miss. And I made it to the letter of the recipe and brought it to a family Thanksgiving. And I was so excited to be in, because, like, I'm the pie guy, so everyone's excited for what pie I'm going to bring. And it was disgusting because it was, like, there was There was almost no flavor to it at all. And when I went back to the recipe to try and figure out like what went wrong, there were several spices that you'd typically put in a pumpkin pie, like cloves or nutmeg, that weren't even in the recipe. And then the quantities for the ones that did go in there were, seemed so small that, in retrospect, I was like, what was I thinking? You know, and it was a good sort of reminder that, you know, you can actually bring a little bit of judgment, to a recipe. You don't have to follow it to the letter of the law. Especially if there, if you think that there's something weird or off about it, it's so easy to have a typo in a news article or in a magazine or on in an online recipe. Who's to say it's right? So I do approach pies that I make now with a little bit more critical eye. Like scrutiny. Just to make sure that, you know, if there's something crazy in there, it's not going to happen to me again, and it's not going to happen at my family Thanksgiving.
For sure. It's very interesting that you bring that up, because I feel like it makes such wonderful parallels to medicine as well, because, you know, people have these comments about cookbook medicine or things like that, and, you know, only following like this guideline without actually thinking about the patient's presentation, or if some lab value comes back that seems completely absurd or is just, it looks like it's within normal values, but it's actually absurd for that patient's situation, that, you know, you still, even though we have all of these recipes online or guidelines that we can look up or all of these different things, there's still such an important role that your judgment plays based on your experience.
That's totally true. And that what we're really talking about is the gift of being a craftsman, of knowing your work well enough to apply your own judgment to it. And it's interesting to think about medicine as craft, you know, that there is a science and an art to it. But there is a component of it that is based on experience and the acquired knowledge that comes with trying things a lot of different ways and over time. That's an interesting parallel. I like that.
I'm just thinking about this a lot right now because I'm going to my residency program soon. We'll have to learn a lot of experience in a very short period of time.
Good news.
So we talked a lot about, you know, the process that you go through in order to bake pies and become successful at that. And so for any medical students who are looking for something to add to their study schedule, maybe some pie baking, some studying, some pie baking, some studying, what kind of tools or resources did you use when you first started, or did you learn from someone in particular, or those kinds of things?
Okay. Well, obviously the internet is like the best educational tool in the world if you want it to be. There's, you know, tremendous resources online, free videos and, you know, tons and tons of recipes out there.
Do you have a favorite?
For online resources, I tend to really like Southern Living's sort of collection of recipes. It's huge. Taste of Home also. They're both magazines that have been around forever. And so they have years and years of classic, you know, like the sort of really down home, home style recipes that are usually really easy to make, clear instructions, and they don't have odd esoteric ingredients. I like to make pies with things that I could find anywhere. But definitely online is huge. I think, you know, finding a good cookbook is also a real treat. Cause there are some really good cookbooks, and the, you know, I don't know if everyone else is like this or not, but there's just something about sitting down in an armchair with the book and just flipping through it and letting your mind kind of wander about, you know, what, oh, this would be really fun. Like, maybe I should take some time on Saturday and make this really awesome blueberry cream cheese thing, you know, and just sort of imagine what that might taste like. We don't do enough of that kind of thing, you know, in our lives, of like just stopping and thinking about, you know, how good that would feel, you know, like, and that anticipation of the taste, you know, like letting that sit for a minute and thinking about it. I think that makes it taste even better personally. If you find a good cookbook, one that I really liked, is, it's a huge cookbook. It's just called Pie. And the author's name is Ken Heydrich. And I believe he's, I think he's an editor for, cooking magazine, maybe like Cooking Light or something. I can't remember exactly what his, what his pedigree is all about, but he's definitely a pie expert. And he's got recipes from all across the country, from different chefs and cooks and some of his own. And it really covers the whole gamut from fruit pies to nut pies to ice cream pies to whatever. And my copy of that is so dog-eared that it almost doesn't even close.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's definitely my number one. But, get out there and, go to a bookstore for crying out loud and flip through them and just see what pictures you kind of like, because that's a part of a good cookbook too, is when they have good photos. But basically between the internet and that book, I would say the majority of my learning has come. I will say, whenever I meet an Iowa senior citizen woman, who gives me any reason to think she might know something in the kitchen
about pies,
I always ask about what they know about pie.
Wow.
Because everybody's got a story to tell, everybody has a little trick that they do. Maybe it's like you put vodka in your crust, or maybe, you always soak your fruit in lemon juice before you cut it up or whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a little thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, and this is a part of the country where there's a huge amount of expertise in baking and in food in general. So, ask people what their experiences are and what they think. I often don't ask people who are in their 20s, just because I guess stereotypically not everybody most in their likely 20s is a pie baker.
Unless there's someone with a pie tattooed on their arm.
Yes, then I would definitely start up a conversation. But baking, gardening, these kinds of things, there's huge collective intelligence that's just waiting to be tapped into if you're willing to ask somebody what they think about something.
Because I guess I don't know, I'm not a terrible expert on Midwest farm culture, but I feel like, state fair, pie baking kind of go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And did you grow up in that kind of an environment, or as something that you just came to later in life out of interest?
Maybe both a little bit. Our family was not heavy duty bakers or anything like that. I grew up in northern Minnesota, in North Dakota. And we had some recipes that were pretty standard, weekly baking type things. We had during the summer, we would have a cherry pie or a chocolate pie or an apple pie, one a week, for sure. And my dad's German, so we had this, it's like a custard pie with fruit on it called Kuchen. And that was almost year round. That was a breakfast thing. Sorry, we were talking about how this sort of connected to
state
fair culture.
Yeah, state fair culture your experiences before.
Okay, sorry, I just lost track. I was just thinking about I was thinking about Kuchen, and I was oh, I really want to make one of those. So state fair culture, believe it or not, I'd never been to a state fair until about 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. And
I say that although I went to my first state fair last year, so I can't really say much.
Right? Yeah. I mean, once you go, it's oh my God, this is a world in and of itself. I can't believe I hadn't done it, but I have to credit my partner for that. He was we had just met and he was you're going, and we're camping there. We're doing the whole thing.
You're doing the whole thing. Oh my gosh.
So I
just
awesome.
Went there to eat. You actually went to do the state fair.
Yeah. We lived there for 5 days and it was phenomenal. I love it. I loved being there. I thought it was really cool. I submitted a pie for the county fair, dream of going to the state fair with pie, and I did not win. I didn't get picked as one of the top three. So, I learned some lessons from that I learned that you have to really pay attention to the judging criteria. Because I made a crumb top pie, which is usually my favorite. I love the taste of a crumb top pie. But one of the whole categories of the judging was just the texture of the crust. And the bottom crust on a pie often doesn't really have that much texture because it has the weight of the filling on it. It's the top crust that really gives you the flakiness or the butteriness. And so they really couldn't even judge my pie based on the
same criteria.
Because
it didn't meet the criteria.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was also a peach pie. It was a peach blueberry almond pie. The combination of flavors was beautiful, but it was, again, I got nailed by those peaches because they weren't quite perfectly ripe. So the flavor was a little bit sour, you know, and with the blueberries in there and the lemon in there already, it was just, I think it was just a little off. But I also, I had just had such a fun time, like, going to the county fair and sitting in the stands, like, waiting, like, nervously, you know, like, am I going to get picked? Am I going to get picked? And the people who won, they won in multiple categories.
Wow.
So, like, I really got to see the best of the best of Johnson County, and to know, like, when Bev or Jill is on the scene, like, you better listen, you know? And so since then I've, you know, I download their recipes when they publish them in the Press Citizen, because they still win every year. And one day maybe I'll overthrow the Queens of Johnson
County. You'll find a way.
Yeah.
And do you actually get to taste the pies at the fair, or is it a...
No,
no,
actually you don't. So you bring your pie to the county fairgrounds, which is just south of Iowa City. And you bring it up to the counter, and then they cut a tiny little slice out of it that the judges will eat. And that's what they'll base their whole judging on, and the overall appearance, the whole thing. And then when the whole thing's over, then they auction the rest of the pie off. And then all that money goes to, you know, I can't remember what the charity was, but it was some charity organization that's linked with the Joe Beers pie contest. And so that was really cool, you know, that even though my pie was like probably a B, you know, like if I was giving it a grade, it still, you know, raised a little bit of money for, you know, a really important cause. And so I think that's a really neat thing. You know, like, I've never been in 4-H or anything like that, but, you know, like, that's what state fair culture is all about, is about, you know, enriching the community in a lot of different ways, you know, both through the taste that they bring to it and also through philanthropy. So it's kind of cool.
That's really cool. So did you ask the winners for any tips for your pie baking at the state, at the county fair?
Oh God, no, I was too intimidated. Like, they, and you know, they were like, there was a lady who won second place in like three different categories, and she was like eye rolling, you know, like, because she was so like over it that she didn't win. And I was like, I have nothing to say to you because I would love to get third, you know, like once. But anyway, yeah, no, I was, I was too intimidated.
So what are, what do you have any future baking plans for this upcoming summer season?
Well, gosh, not really. I like to just kind of go with flow and see what fruits look good, you know. There's things I've never cooked with before, like plums I've never cooked with, or grapes I've never cooked with. And it, that sounds probably crazy, but there's some recipes out there, like really Italian style pies that use those kinds of fruits. So, I mean, God, who knows? Like, anytime there's an occasion or an event or somebody has a birthday or something, it's like, okay, it's pie time. What's it going to be? And then that just like a trigger for, for a creative outburst.
You should like how Dr. Rubenstein uses his singing as like a carrot to bring students to come to class. You should say, it's pie time.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's absolutely, that's a great idea. I've given away pies before as like awards or prizes for like academic contests before, like when like we have a race to complete a chart or something like that. It's tough when you got 180 people in your class to just have one pie that everyone's fighting over. But I guess if it's a really good one, maybe they'd get excited about it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hoffman, for taking time to speak with us today at the Short Code Podcast. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our lovely listeners out there?
Oh, geez. Just get out there and just taste things. Just try it out. And, you know, pie is super fun and it really isn't that hard. you know, calling myself a pie baker is an easy title that I can add to my resume. Why not? Why don't you do it too?
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.